Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. His loving kindnesses, tender mercies, and compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. This is Sinner Saved coming at you with the following short evangelistic gospel message, which is sponsored by preacher Wayne Boyd and the Brethren in Christ at First Baptist Church, located in Almont, Michigan, USA. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. Excuse me, friends. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that His only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that His everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that His elect saints be greatly encouraged, cheered, and comforted in these evil and perilous times. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so, we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by His sovereign free grace. That is to say, Almighty God and His unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. A reading from Isaiah 45, verses 24 and 25. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to Him shall men come, and all that are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. If the possession of heaven could be obtained with only a single act of goodness, never to all eternity should I find it. The Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Oh, then, for grace to know Thee, to love Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, to follow Thee as my only good, my hope, my righteousness, my portion forever. That was from old-timer preacher Robert Hawker. For whom did Christ die? Now, pay attention, dear people. Sit up straight. This is a matter of eternal life unto those that believe what the Holy Bible says, and to those who refuse to believe the following, it will be a matter of everlasting perdition. When answering this question, we must be careful to base our answer on what God's Word, the Bible, says. And what does the Bible say as far as for whom did Christ die? Christ died for His sheep, John 10:11. Christ died for all whom the Father gave Him, John 6:39. Christ died for His people, Matthew 1:21. Christ died for His children who are His brethren, Hebrews 2, verses 12 through 17. Christ died for His church, Acts 20:28. Christ died for His bride, Ephesians 5:25. Christ died for those chosen by God in Him, the elect, Ephesians 1:5. All of these are people whom Christ ransomed and redeemed from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Before the world began, their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Lamb, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ, was slain specifically for them. How are they made known? They are made known by the miracle of God-given faith in Christ, God-given repentance of dead works and idolatry, and God-empowered perseverance in that faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. They are made known by the righteousness they claim and confess, the imputed righteousness of Christ. Romans 10, verses 4 through 10. They are made known by the song that they sing. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That was Revelation 5:9. And that was from an unknown preacher of righteousness. The Spirit always leads to Christ. Romans 8:14. For as many are... As are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we who claim to believe in Christ as our only hope of salvation want to have the assurance of grace that only the Spirit of God can give, we must be led by the Spirit of God. To be assured that we are led by the Spirit of God, we must know to whom and where the Spirit of God leads the children of God. The answer is that the Spirit leads all of God's children to Christ for all their salvation, forgiveness, righteousness, eternal life, and glory. The Spirit convicts us of sin so that we can have no comfort of conscience but in the blood of Christ. He convicts us of righteousness so that we find none in ourselves, but all in the merit of Christ's obedience unto death as our surety, substitute, and redeemer. He convicts us of judgment so that we have the assurance that we have been judged for all our sins in the person of our surety, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross, and therefore no charge can be laid against us. We have Christ's righteousness imputed to us by our Heavenly Father. Friends, please see John 16, verses 8 through 11, Romans 4, 6 through 8, and Romans 8, 33 through 34. Be assured that any spirit that leads you elsewhere for salvation with all its benefits and blessings is an evil spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, will lead you to find peace and security as a child of God in Christ and Him alone. That was from Preacher Bill Parker of Eager Avenue Grace Church, located in Albany, Georgia, USA. Saved to the uttermost, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. One of the biggest words in our language is the word uttermost. No one has ever seen the uttermost, nor traveled there. We have mapped the earth, pinpointed the stars, and measured the distances between the planets. But in spite of all our knowledge, no one has located the uttermost. The uttermost is like the horizon. It's always further on. Our understanding of God's love is like that. Just when we think we have got a handle on it, it is then that we see that He loves us to a deeper extent than we have yet understood or imagined. He loves us to the uttermost. We read in John 13:1, having loved His own, He loved them to the end. He loved them to the uttermost. The fullness of His love is beyond the next horizon. It is to the uttermost. His love is always greater than we can fathom. Its fullest extent, the uttermost, is always farther on. When we look at Christ's incarnation and life of obedience on our behalf, our understanding, helped by the Spirit, glimpses a measure of His love for us. But we are so spiritually dull that it remains only a glimpse. When we look at the cross, we continue to get a sight of His love, but again, we can't grasp its fullest extent because the complete appreciation of His love is always further on. We are loved to the uttermost, but we have not yet arrived there in our understanding. Much as we grasp the wonderful things of the gospel, we are faced with a love that is greater than our comprehension, a love that is always further on. Notice also in our verses that we have a Savior who not only loves us to the uttermost, but who is able to save us to the uttermost. He saved us at the cross, and now, as our ever-living High Priest, He richly applies that salvation. When we look at the cross, we see that He is able to save us because He did not save Himself. He is able to save us because He took our guilt and condemnation. He is able to save us because He satisfied divine justice. He is able to save us because when He died, we legally died. He is able to save us because He has loved us and paid for us to the uttermost. But He did not leave things there. Our Savior High Priest is able to save us not only because He died, but also because He ever lives to make intercession for us. That same priest who died on the cross is alive, never to die again. That same Jesus who was buried in the tomb is now alive and lives to make sure that His purchase is saved to the uttermost, and He is well able to save. Many a doctor has wanted to save a patient but was not able. Many a parent has been willing to transfer the suffering of their little child to themselves, but they could not. The will was there, but not the ability. The wonderful thing about Jesus, however, is that he is not merely willing to save. He doesn't just try to save or do his best to save, but he is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God by him. Christ Jesus succeeds where everyone else fails. He saves to the uttermost. He saves with an all-sufficient omnipotence. He takes us at our worst and saves us to the fullest extent of his power and love. He died for us and ever lives to ensure that everything he purchased for us is applied. What an amazing gospel! Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ is risen, Christ has ascended to cosmic authority, and now ever lives to make intercession for us. He is alive, and as such, he guarantees that his blood is applied to the believer. He ever lives to pledge that we will be saved. 5 bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die. Christ saves all who come to him. He saves completely with an exhaustive, all-encompassing salvation. The Christ of the cross is now the high priest of heaven, interceding for us as the perfect mediator. Christ Jesus died on the cross, but unlike the priests of the old covenant, his death did not signal a cessation of his ministry. Jesus rose from the dead, and as our great high priest entered glory and presented us before the Father. And now, right now, he is guaranteeing the entire purchased blessing that he obtained with his precious blood. And that's the gospel truth. That was from preacher Miles McKee. Precious Savior, friend of sinners we, as such to thee draw near, let thy spirit dwell within us with that love that casts out fear. Matchless Savior, let us know thee as the Lord our righteousness. Cause our hearts to cleave unto thee. Come and with thy presence bless. Open now thy precious treasure. Let thy word here freely flow. Give to us a gracious measure. 'Tis thyself we long to know. Come and claim us as thy portion. Let us all find rest in thee. Leave us not to empty notions. We must find our hope in thee. That was from the old gospel hymn, Jesus Calls Us. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. The Master also says in Matthew 11:28-30, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, for none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found, and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. This about wraps up this evening's broadcast. I trust Almighty God will awaken his sleeping elect and draw multitudes of men, women, and children around the world today to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness. Yehovah Tzidkenu, bless the name, Baruch Hashem. If you'd like to communicate, then please feel free to write. The email address is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com, and please indicate what country you are from, and tell me what life is like where you live, and I really look forward to writing you back. Once again, the address to write is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ, and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends. Our mighty and glorious King of Glory is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, O Lord, we pray, thy people, we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus Christ. Maranatha!